Hello, this is Dr. Randy Turpin. We're continuing our study of the prophetic, and we have already looked at the topic of personal prophecy. I want to move on now to look at corporate prophecy. I'm talking about those times when prophetic ministry is taking place in a gathering of people. The need for spiritual oversight becomes greater when we're talking about prophetic ministry in a public corporate environment. The Bible says, be eager to prophesy, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Take a look at that. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 39 and 40. Before plunging into guidelines for order in this, I think it's important to first highlight the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. You really cannot predict, administer, or control the moving of the Holy Spirit, okay? Programs, preconceived expectations, man's requirements, those things cannot be forced upon the sovereignty of God. Now, with that point being made, the issue here is not that the Holy Spirit needs to be controlled. God forbid. The issue is that the human component needs guidance. How we facilitate the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit is the real matter at hand. Okay? I want to talk a bit about spiritual authority and leadership. Spiritual authority and leadership are necessary for the proper functioning of corporate prophecy. Cindy Jacobs states, without proper spiritual authority, anarchy will occur. Where a leadership vacuum occurs, someone will fill the void. I can really relate to that. You know, sometimes you can leave, if you have an environment where there's no leadership, I can guarantee you somebody is going to step in as leader, and it may not be the person that is the right choice for that situation. The absence of leadership presents an unfavorable opportunity for random individuals to take the lead. Obviously, that kind of situation should be precluded by congregational leaders fulfilling their God-appointed role of leadership. Whenever the Holy Spirit is moving, leadership is needed. Now, once again, the point is not that leaders need to control the Holy Spirit. Rather, they need to properly facilitate the congregation's movements with the Holy Spirit. In assemblies, gatherings where the congregational leader cannot be present, properly authorized individuals should be placed in the lead as facilitators of prophetic ministry. Sometimes it's best not to even have prophetic ministry going on if you don't have proper oversight there. You know, really, administration is a gift of the Spirit. Michael Sullivan talks about it. He notes, in the midst of cataloging the supernatural manifestations and ministries within the church in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, Paul speaks of the charismatic gift of administrations. So the disciplines, oversight, and exercise of the prophetic maximizes its benefit to the church. You know, when there is administration going on, when it's discipline, when there's oversight. So Michael Sullivan notes, Paul cautions the Corinthians to discipline, temper, and restrain themselves properly in order to channel their spiritual gifts in such a way that they will maximize the helpfulness of their anointings to the whole Christian community. And if you have my book, Essentials for Spirit-Empowered Ministry, you can read more about this. Let's talk a little bit about models for facilitating corporate prophecy. The manner in which corporate prophecy is facilitated may vary from congregation to congregation and even from denomination to denomination. If you're worshiping in a setting other than your home church, it is important to honor the culture of that particular house. And here we will consider two models for facilitating corporate prophecy. One is what I call the open floor model. Some Spirit-empowered churches have traditionally taken an open floor or open microphone approach to facilitating prophecies. This procedure consists of two basic parts. First, prophecies in this kind of setting. I'm not saying this is the way it should be. I'm just describing one model, the open floor model. In these types of situations, often prophecies may be spoken spontaneously from the floor or at the microphone without being screened in advance. And then once the prophecy has been publicly presented, the officiating minister determines the appropriate response. Now, churches using this approach need to be aware of its potential problems. Now, Jack Deere and others are careful to point out that the potential for disorder increases with the open floor or open microphone approach. Without forewarning, someone could speak out a directional or correctional word, making it necessary for some sort of a awkward process to have to be engaged in to judge that item openly before the whole congregation. If a church is taking the open floor approach, the congregation should be instructed to not deliver spontaneous words of a directional or correctional nature from the floor, okay? Directional or correctional items should be taken to pastoral leaders who are gifted at processing and dealing with such matters. Spontaneous words should be edifying words that impact the heart with its message. There's another potential problem with the open floor model, and that is that it may convey the idea that anyone, whether they are known by congregational leaders or not, has the right to speak from the floor. Churches experiencing problems with this approach may want to consider alternative ways of facilitating corporate prophecy, which leads to my personal preference is the screening model. The screening model. So an alternative procedure developed by Neil Charismatics actually provides a very healthy approach, a screening or a preview process prior to the delivery of the prophetic utterance. Whereas the open floor approach requires prophecies to be judged after they're publicly delivered, this preview approach, screening approach, judges revelations before they are publicly delivered. Now, this procedure consists of three parts. First, this is the screening model. The person who feels they have a prophetic word, they present the revelation to a designated leader. As individuals receive revelations that they feel should be shared with the corporate gathering, they come forward to one of the designated facilitators. It could be elders near the front, pastors, other prophetically gifted people seated on the front row or somewhere near the front. Share with those facilitators the gist of the revelation. And Cindy Jacobs even suggests if a prophecy is for the church congregation as a whole and you receive it before the service, write it down and give it to an elder that you trust. Now, some may wonder, what if God has truly given me a word and the leader or elder does not recognize it as such? Well, Michael Sullivan appropriately states, trust God's providence working through worship leaders, pastoral leaders, and other prophetic people, even if they may miss providing you an opportunity. God is bigger than these kinds of errors. If a person is denied the opportunity to publicly deliver a word, he or she should remember that authority and liberty in prophetic ministry grow as a person develops a proven track record. Michael Sullivan instructs, don't demand titles and microphones. Wait upon God to raise you up and back you up, okay? So once you've placed it in the hands of leadership, the responsibility of that rests with them, not with you. So the first step here in this screening model is present the revelation to a designated leader. And when I was pastoring, I would have designated people on the front row, and we instructed the church, if you feel like the Lord has given you something to share, go to one of these elders on the front row, tell them. If they feel like it's something that should be shared with the whole church, that elder would get my attention. All right? All right. So, but the second step in this is allow the designated leader to evaluate the revelation. The leader or elder will evaluate the content and timing of the prophecy to determine the timeliness or appropriateness of the message. And the leader will determine if and when it will be presented in the service. It may be that it's just not the time for it. or it may be that it's even totally off, but we have to trust leadership in this. The leader would determine the appropriateness of it and the timing of it. The following things I want to share with you are a few of the possible judgments that a leader may make regarding a word that's been brought to his or her attention. The designated leader may assess that the word is a timely word that should be publicly delivered by the person in the assembly at that time, or it may be deemed a word that is a timely word but should be delivered publicly by someone in authority and not by the person who received it. Or it may be deemed that determined that the word's a timely word concerning those assembled, but it should not be delivered publicly. Rather, the word is to be seen as informative for prayer and for possible actions to be taken by those who are in authority. Or the word may be a timely word, but it should be delivered privately to those for whom it's intended. And the private delivery of the word will be made either by the person who received the revelation or by someone with recognized authority in that setting. And leadership there will make that determination as to which it is. Or the word may be from God, but it may not be for this time and place. It may need to be held close to the heart until such time that God determines it is to be released. Or finally, it may be determined that it's just simply not a word from God. The person bringing the revelation may be well-intentioned, but the proposed message may have originated more from the person's imagination and not from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So there needs to be a lot of humility and teachable spirit involved in this whole matter of prophecy, okay? And we need to just trust God with the process, with leadership. The third part of this screening model, if approved, the leader will signal the person to speak at the appropriate time or may have someone in authority speak it, as we've already suggested. That way the whole congregation gets to hear what the Lord is saying. Just a little bit of critical reflection here on the two approaches. Let's look at this. While I personally favor the screening model, I cannot responsibly ignore the positive aspects of the open floor model. A lot of Pentecostals use the open floor model, but also when they use the screening model, they may want to be careful to not categorically forbid spontaneous words from the floor if that's what, you know, their church culture normally has done. Then be careful about totally shutting that down, I suppose. In biblical times, when prophecies were presented, they often were presented publicly from the floor. And look at 1 Corinthians 14. It seems to imply that that's what was happening, just spontaneous words from the floor. So you can't just categorically say, from a biblical point of view, that you just can't do that, okay? Now, I know it gets a little touchy. It's a little harder to deal with, you know, when it's just spontaneous from the floor. But in either case, you know, somebody's got to judge it. Somebody's got to assess it. Let's come back to it again. Okay, if it's delivered publicly without screening from the floor, then it has to be publicly screened from leadership in front of everybody. The beauty of the screening approach is it can be privately screened before it's delivered to the body, which I like that a lot better. All right, well, let's move on. A little bit of further instruction on corporate prophecy. Honor the culture of the house. I've already suggested that whatever the culture of the house is, you may be visiting a church, but honor the culture of the house. And when prophesying, speak in your normal language. You don't have to shift to King James English. I would also encourage you to use scripture in prophecy. Begin to fill yourself with the Word of God so that you can give the Holy Spirit something to work with in times of prophetic utterance. He will often reach into the reservoir of scripture that's already within you and draw that out to form the very content of things that you may proclaim prophetically. I would encourage you to be concise in delivering your revelation, the revelation the Lord has given you. I've seen people with very anointed prophetic words begin to deliver it to the church corporately, and it'd be powerful, but they didn't know when to stop. And they go beyond the prophetic anointing and just keep going on and on and on to the point that everybody's there thinking, I thought this was from God, but this is obviously not, okay? So we have to be careful not to speak beyond what the Lord is actually giving us and to be as concise as we can with what we're giving. The next point here in these guidelines is in faith, speak boldly and confidently, and then speak in love. And there are times we have to correct public disorders in the prophetic ministry. In the New Testament, we do have these guidelines regarding disorder that two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Careful consideration needs to be given of how prophetic things are to be interpreted and applied. And if it's out of order, then we've got to judge it. The Bible says that one should speak and the others should judge or weigh carefully what is said. And I'm not meaning to suggest that it's always things out of order that we're dealing with there. Sometimes in the judging and assessing of it, it may be actually an affirmation of what has been said that needs to be spoken by someone else. Someone prophesies, other prophetic people are weighing it, and they come out with either a correction of it, or it, in most cases, would be an affirmation of what has been said, you see? So there needs to be some sort of response from leadership whenever there has been a corporate prophecy delivered. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Actually, the plurality of prophetic voices, two or three prophets, as the scripture says, working together in mutual accountability helps to authenticate the message. And there's more that we'll say about the corrective side of this in another lesson. But I hope that helps some. Personal prophecy, I love it. Corporate prophecy, I love it. But the corporate side of it requires a little more oversight and careful guiding that in the worship gathering context. It's powerful either way. We shouldn't be shutting it down. We shouldn't be quenching it. We just need instruction on how to deal with it, biblical instruction on how to facilitate that, how to encourage it even, the prophetic in our gatherings, and to have the proper oversight there, the proper leadership to make sure that all things are done in a way that is edifying to everyone involved.